We're going to study this week 5 days on Samuel himself. But my exercise in taking this up was that on the Lord's Day, that our heart would be occupied with the mother, this woman, a strong woman, verses that ought to be tremendous encouragement to our young sisters who are here today, that she was a woman that because she was exercised, she changed the course of history. And we want to see that about Hannah. And we read the first verses in the chapter especially, and some want to comment on the darkness of the day that they were living in. It was the day of the judges. It was a time when every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. But in that day, we still find there were godly brothers and sisters. And that's where we are today. We're in the days of Judges. If we come to the New Testament, we're in the days of 2 Timothy. But dear young people, we never, ever want to excuse our behavior and point to the low condition of the day and say, well, that's a reason for me that it's okay that I don't maintain the standard. Here was a brother, here was his wife, and they were still going up every day unto the city or every year to offer sacrifices. I'll just say also, as we begin to speak of Hannah, she was not a sister without difficulties. And you won't be one either. You won't pass through this world without difficulties. And the difficulties she had, God allowed them. We see that. He had a purpose in what he was doing and how he was working and what he was going to do with this young man Samuel in a day to come. Others may want to open up with some remarks to get us going.
About where Eli says, why are you drunk? I don't see the reason why it was put in there. I understand that it's part of the Bible, but wouldn't you have learned from experience that, seeing as it says that every year they came up, this would be a first that Hannah would be drunk? Probably not. She's probably sad about something is a normal conclusion. Why did he jump? Any answers?
Well, we can begin with starting a little bit to follow what Chuck has brought before us of the days in which Samuel comes onto the scene, the days in which Hannah, who we'll look at today, in which the people of Israel were. And 1 Samuel follows, as Chuck has mentioned, the book of Judges. And now in Samuel, we're going to see how God in grace comes in, and to see that Eli looked at Hannah, as we're going to come to that part of the chapter, and made these comments, it is very explanatory of the reality of the spiritual condition that existed amongst God's people in that day. And we want to look at this and see not only from a view and looking back, as it were, in history and saying, well, that's how it was in Samuel's day and the people of Israel, and they were all doing everything that was right in their own eyes, and you know, hindsight is 20/20 vision, and we can see and we can critique and look and say, well, if they would have done this, if they would have done that, if they would have followed the Lord, then they wouldn't have come into these circumstances. We don't want to look at it from that sort of removed type of vision, but we want to take a look and see at these types of comments that Eli makes to Hannah and the difficulties that Hannah was being faced with in her life at home and the difficulties that she had there, and apply them to us today and see now, how do I relate to this in my life today, and see how in these days of the people of God in Israel at this time, where there was much that was dishonoring to the name of the Lord. There was much that was not following the leadership and the guidance and the word of God that Israel had of days of old promised that everything that you tell us to do, we will do. And the ultimate failure of man in the flesh, and it's how that really is exposed. And how do we apply that to myself today? And to see, as we look around, you know the comment, you call yourself a Christian? And to realize that with the name of Christ, that there is a testimony that is associated with that, and we can see in the world today that it is very dark, and that there is not the spiritual discernment to see what is of Christ and what is not of Christ, what is right and what is evil. And we want to extrapolate that from these studies, young people, and look at that for ourselves today.
I'd like to... You go ahead, Amy. Go ahead, brother. While you get to a mic, I'd like to make this point. Brother Chuck started to point us to Hannah as a sister living in a very difficult time. And I'd like just to, first for a second to look at Elkanah, because in the first verse, it gives us a very wonderful picture of the godly line that Elkanah, that he launches his life from. At your leisure, you can go back and look at the names or the meanings of the names of his father and grandfather, etc. And you'll find that these names have very godly, lofty meanings. I think Ramath Zophin really means acquired of God. There's one that means honeycomb. That these were men that had a desire for godly things. They were in the line of the priests, the Levites. And so here is this man, Elkanah, who has come up in a godly home. And as I look around this room, and this is why I want to stress this point, is that many of us have been blessed to have launched or been born in godly homes. We didn't have an opportunity to decide whether we should be born in 1975 or 85 or whatever year you were born. God so designed that. And you've been born in difficult times, both in the world and in the assembly. The assembly is under attack by the enemy, and certainly what you see in the world, the enemy is working his works. But one of the important things about Elkanah, as we will look at Hannah as well, is that this man, it says, verse 3, that he went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And I was wondering, young people, that in the privileged homes that we've come from, have we made a commitment like Elkanah to go up out of our homes and to worship the Lord? Or have we simply taken for granted the homes that we come from, parents that are godly, to have a local assembly, Sunday school, young people's meeting, to be on such a privileged ground, and yet year after year, we seemingly are in the same position. So I want us just to make that note that there was a godly heritage here, that Elkanah came in the line of the priests. He did have two wives, certainly, and we know that that's the weakness that we see coming in. But certainly God is going to work his works. But we ask ourselves, do we have a desire like Elkanah to be committed to the things of the Lord? That there wasn't anything that was going to hinder him from going up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice, not just unto Jehovah, but to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh.